Would you please take God's word with me, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 6. Be praying for the services on Sunday in a great way, praying for yourself, praying for others, and praying for God to work in our hearts and work in our lives. Pray for our Sunday school on Sunday morning. Have a good Sunday school hour. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the music, the singing. Pray for me, please, if you would. And pray one for another that God would meet in a special way. Remember, we'll have our watermelon fellowship, watermelon feast, watermelon slaughter, whatever you want to call it. We'll have that. We'll get some peanuts as well. And if you want to bring anything else of that, whatever that might be, to snack on or whatever, help yourself there. But we'll have a good time on Sunday evening. Very good. Amen. Your Bible, open to 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter number 18 and verse number 6. And the Lord willing, covering through verse number 14 tonight and continuing our study through 1 Samuel. And in verse number 6, chapter 18. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David into the wall with it. And David avoided it out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to read your word again. Lord, I cannot preach without your help. I'm frail. I'm weak. I need your power and strength. Your people have come needing a word from you, and I pray that you deliver it tonight to their heart and minister to each and every heart here tonight. Lord, forgive me for why I failed you. Wash me thoroughly and help me to be your vessel, to be able to preach your word tonight to your heritage, to your people. And Lord, I pray that we'd all know that the Lord spoke to us tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll notice there in verse number 11, and Saul cast the javelin, right? He had the javelin in his hand in the bottom of verse number 10, as Saul had the harp in his hand, Saul had the javelin in his hand. And I'd like to preach a little while out of this text of Scripture, the javelin of jealousy. The javelin of jealousy. Saul had already had his heart ready for the fire of jealousy to burn bright. It just took David's prosperity. It just took David's success and some outside ladies that didn't really love David. They just wanted to sing the praises of David. They didn't really love him. They just wanted to sing his praises. Had some outside ladies sing David's praises, and that's all it took. And because Saul's heart was already wrong and already full of pride, once they started singing, poof, jealousy just burned bright. Compared to Jonathan, a lot different. Jonathan had no rivalry against David, no strife against David. Jonathan was happy for David. Jonathan was rejoicing with David like we ought to rejoice when other people succeed and prosper. The pride of Saul's heart was perfect for jealousy to burn. And we're going to preach on jealousy tonight because that's what's in the text of Scripture. We don't make these things up. We just preach through the Bible. But we've got to protect our hearts from pride each moment of each day. It's the subtle little things that'll slip into your heart that'll ruin you. You know, they'll tell you as a preacher, and this is for all Christians, they'll tell you, watch out for morals. Morals will get you. Being immoral, destroy your ministry, you know. Or they'll say to you, watch out for the maids, you know, that's the women, you know, watch out for them. They'll destroy your ministry. And that's altogether true. And watch out for money, it'll destroy your ministry. Filthy lucre. And that's altogether correct. But when I begin to think about those things, for some reason, God brought those things to my mind when I was thinking about this text. And I thought to myself, you know what can destroy all of us and can destroy preachers and people in the ministry? And by the way, I think y'all in here tonight are in the ministry. You're in the ministry. God's given you a ministry. You know what can destroy your influence? Probably maybe before money will, or maybe even before a woman or opposite sex would, or immorality will. Jealousy. Jealousy's a monster. It'll eat you from the inside out. And you don't even realize that it's harbored in there. That's why you've got to really listen keenly and let the Lord judge your heart tonight. Because it can get in there and you don't even realize it. Like, why in the world am I thinking that about that person? What's come of me to think so highly of myself and so little of them? What am I doing thinking this way? I don't know. It's just about anything sometimes. Does that ever run through your ear and lodge up here and you sit on it for a little while in your mind and say, why did that even come there? The devil wants to put those things there. That's why you have to cast those things that are not true out of your mind. That's why you have to cast that pride out of your mind and humble yourself before a holy God and say, Lord, forgive me for thinking that. Well, the battle's in our mind. I'm just going to try to be just as real to you as I can be tonight. And I'm not trying to shear the sheep. I'm trying to help the sheep. But this might hurt a little bit, all of us a little bit. We have to ask ourselves the question about this matter of jealousy that Saul had towards David. And we sometimes think these same questions, they'll run through our mind. Well, why did they get to do that and not me? It'll run through your mind. That's just entitlement. It's pride. Who do they think they are anyways? Or it'll run across your mind. Oh, I could do a lot better than them. I could do a lot better than them. I could do that better than they're doing it. Look how they're doing it. I could do a lot better than them. It's because you're jealous of them being able to do it. And promotion coming from the Lord. I could do a lot better than them. And if that person that's jealous hangs around a little while longer, they'll make sure they can tell them how they can do it better. They'll be talking about doing something and it won't take very long at all. Here they come. Hey, I think we'll do it this way. Had nothing to do with them. You know life. You've been around a water cooler long enough. You've been at work long enough. And you've been in a Baptist church long enough too. That's how it works when jealousy takes it. Because I should be the one involved in all that. And there's jealousy that slips in. You know, many times we'll have these thoughts slip into our mind. Why are they always getting the attention? Why are they always getting the recognition? You start thinking about these things. You start realizing the combat against that is Christ and not you. You got your mind in the wrong spot. You're thinking about yourself more than your brother, but ultimately you're not thinking about Christ at all. You're in it for self-glory and self-recognition. They're always looking around all the time. Jealous people always look around all the time. They always are looking around for anything all the time. They're a critic and a fan of certain things all the time. They're always looking around all the time. I had a guy that I used to work with years and years and years ago, and He could never keep his nose to the grind. He could never keep his head down and just work. I mean, that fella had a syndrome. He'd look around all the time for everybody. He wanted to make sure somebody was seeing him do something. you ever met somebody like that? Yeah. But that's that insecurity that comes from pride, and it leads to jealousy. They can't live like that. I can't, and then the thought comes in your mind, I can't believe I wasn't included. And sometimes everybody doesn't get included. Now, we can work on loving everybody, including everybody, but if the framework of your mind already is built that way in pride, well, I wasn't. You gotta recognize you're living for Jesus and for His glory and not for any self-recognition. And I'm telling you, all these things can come into our minds, and you know, they've came into my mind. Well, why is he able to do that and not me? Why is his, as a preacher, why is his church growing 30 miles down the road and ours ain't growing so fast? Or why are people getting saved there and not yonder? And I'm thinking, whoa. I should just be a humble servant, whether it's growing or not. I should be able to be willing to be like Jeremiah and preach with no results for the worthiness of Jesus. Amen. Jealousy's bad against anybody. Or you'll think of your sister, why is she doing that? And you think of your brother, why is he able to do that and not me? Why is he getting this and not me? It's jealousy. It's self-centeredness. Now this happens when applause takes place. That's the first point. In verses 6 through 7, we see the applause. It came to pass that they start singing David's praises, singing and dancing with tabrets, and with joy, and with instruments of music. In verse 7, and the women answered one another. They answer back and forth. They're just singing to each other, answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That's the applause. Oh, the fanfare that Saul once received and now David's getting it. It's like this, okay? A family moves into town and they've got a 17-year-old boy. And they sign him up to go play basketball. He's a star. They put him on the team. He plays the first game, and he outscores the star from the year before. The guy that was the star before scored 25 points and led the scoring for the team. But now the kid that just moved into town and enrolled in the school and is on the team, he's scoring 25 points, and the other guy, he's scoring 10. And all the cheerleaders and all the fans are like, woo, woo, for the new guy that's in town. Oh, and that pride rises up and that jealousy rises up. That's kind of what is going on right here. And Saul says, oh my, I can't stand this. And the Bible says he was very wroth in verse 8, and it displeased him in verse 8, and he eyed Saul from that day forward. It got him. This needs saying. This right here needs saying, might need writing down. Dealing with success humbly is a mark of a godly man. David dealt with success humbly, and that's the mark of a godly man. But harder than that, mark this down, put it in your brain at least, harder than that is dealing with the success of another man when it used to be you. That's hard to swallow. You've got to have humility and the grace of God. Saul was getting it all, and all of a sudden David took all of that. And I'm telling you what, it can happen in our lives. It's like somebody would come into church and he comes in here and he might be talented and he might have some gifts, and he's gifted of God. Truly, you know, there's some people that are gifted of the Lord, and God entrusts them with a lot. And he's doing things. Would we get jealous of that person? I certainly hope not, because we're not in competition with one another, are we? He would add to the work of the Lord, and to reach the church out and go forward. We shouldn't be jealous of that person if he's doing it in the spirit of the grace of God, filled with the Spirit. We have to be careful. And in meaning by that, many times we have to be careful that we don't become that way. But that applause of the ladies fueled the fury in Paul's heart. I mean, it's just like putting gas. When they started singing that, oh my, the Bible says he was very wroth and it displeased him. That leads from the applause to the anger. to the anger. The Bible says that Saul in verse 9 eyed David. that eye of jealousy, that eye of anger, and all the way to the eye of wrath where he wanted to do something about killing him. That far. He eyed him from that day forth. The Bible says in verse 8 that Saul was very wroth and the saying displeased him. That very wroth there in verse 8 means to blaze, to glow, to fume. Smoke coming out of his ears. It's like we're watching a cartoon character like Looney Tunes or something. I don't know what those characters' names are, but whoever it is, when he gets mad, the smoke comes out of his ears and fires comes out of his ears. That's what Saul, he is just furious right now. Very wroth, and the Bible says the saying displeased him. He said, they've scribed unto David 10,000, to me they've scribed but thousands. It made him mad. He's at the point of anger right now. Spurgeon said anger is temporary insanity. Anger is temporary insanity. Let's go to some verses. We'd do well to do that. Hold your place there and turn with me to Proverbs and chapter number 10. The Proverbs have a lot to say about jealousy, envy, and anger. A lot to say. Proverbs 10 and verse number 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 15 and verse number 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. 1430. Proverbs 1430. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is rottenness of the bones. That's an interesting verse, and it's true. It's preserved and inspired by God. It's teaching us that if you've got envy and jealousy in your heart, you won't be as healthy as you could be. The Bible says it'll rot your bones, but what's it say of a sound heart? It's the life of the flesh. You think people have died early and had heart problems, had emotional problems, put themselves under pressure because it started with pride, turned to jealousy, and then they got anger in their heart, and they were as tight could be in anger. They were like a kettle ready to explode at all times. Be careful, don't touch them the wrong way, they'll blow up. Sure, I don't speak any foreign languages tonight, do I? You've lived around a little bit. You've been around people. Proverbs 27 and verse number 4. Proverbs 27 and verse number 4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? That's something right there. Who's able to stand before a man that's envious and self-centered and wants you destroyed? There's no stopping it. Say, why do you mean there's no stopping it? Don't you need any more proof than that right there? You got Cain and Abel as well. But here in our text, you've got Saul. Envy, who can stand before it? He's going to pick up a javelin and try to kill the man in cold blood with a javelin. That's the javelin of jealousy. You see all that? Now turn all the way to the New Testament. You're keeping your finger in 1 Samuel, aren't you? So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12. This has something to do with jealousy. It has something to do with envy. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. That's what envious and jealous people do. They compare themselves among themselves. You're thinking in your mind, I'm better than you. Why are you getting to do that? Why'd you get that? Wait a second. You're thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. There ought to be a fight on who's going to serve who at Bemis Road Baptist Church. Because we're both trying to serve one another. Amen? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Philippians 2 and verse number 4. Now, we're not wise when we compare ourselves one with another. Turn probably just a page over to chapter 12 of the same book. And in verse number 25. I think I've got the wrong text. I do. I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to go to 1 Corinthians. We're hoping as we travel over there we're correct. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 25. This is correct. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care. The same care. That's what we're looking for. One for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. If one member gets honored among the body of Christ, that's the context. What do we do when they get honored? We rejoice with them that they get honored. If a member, in verse number 26, suffer, what do with them? We weep with them. We suffer with them. We weep with those that weep, and we suffer with those that suffer, right? And we rejoice with those that rejoice. There's a tendency. There's a tendency to be jealous over the rejoicing. There's a tendency to be jealous over the rejoicing. Why are they always so happy? Oh, they don't have any problems. They might just have the joy of the Lord and got more problems than you do. There's a tendency to be jealous over the rejoicing and avoid the weeping. So let me ask you a question. This hit me like a ton of bricks when I put my pen down to that. So there's a tendency for us to not rejoice with those that are honored, to not rejoice with those that are rejoicing or get jealous over those that are rejoicing. That's one side. We get jealous over those who are rejoicing and then we avoid those that weep. We're in the middle somewhere and I've learned this one thing. Either you're rejoicing or either you're weeping. And there's sometimes in life no middle ground. And if you're in the middle, not rejoicing with those that rejoice and not weeping with those that weep, where are you at? You're not helping anybody. To be able to minister to the church, you've got to meet people on the mountain and rejoice with people, or you got to meet people at the bottom. And the grace of God will give you the ability to be able to minister to people. But if you're not happy with those that are happy and you want to avoid those that are weeping, you're not going to have much help to be able to give to people. You got to meet people where they're at. We are just in our flesh, we're bent one way or another. Some of us like to weep with those that weep. Some of us like to rejoice with those that rejoice. But by the grace of God, we can do both. If we have pride, we get hurt. If you got pride in your heart, it hurts when people get blessed. It hurts. You'll scrimmage a little bit. You'll scringe a little bit. They got that truck, but they probably got like 25% interest or something. Come on, what? Don't be that person. Mind your own business. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you treat life that way, look at me. You're miserable. Give that to Jesus. And I'm not talking about trucks. You can think that about anything. And you're in slavery. And you need Jesus to set you free. I pity the soul that runs through the mind like that. And he's a critic of everything that everybody does. He's in slavery. Pride has to do that. See, the devil wants to get us to... Here at Bemis Road Baptist Church, the devil wants us to stay busy and be in competition. That's what he wants. That's what he thought. Yeah, let them stay busy like they're serving the Lord greatly, but they're in competition with one another serving the Lord. Trying to outdo one another. You know how ridiculous that is? You know, we're all on the same team here together tonight. Amen? And I don't think we have necessarily any known problems of what I'm talking about. And I'm hoping and praying this is all preventative maintenance. Can I get a witness? Amen? But even outside this church, hey, what Pastor Mosley does, what Pastor Burt does, what Pastor Ward does, or whoever else around a stone's throw away, that's their ministry. I'm not in competition with them, and I want to be an encourager and a builder up of what they're doing, not trying to beat them down. I want to have the spirit of Jonathan and be a thousand miles away from the spirit of Saul. And boy, that's the only way you're going to be a blessing, right, church? But it's got to start at home, doesn't it? It's got to start at home. God help us. See, jealousy can take a stronghold when you start comparing yourselves with one another. It'll take a stronghold when you got the mindset of competition. This is a church that God has put together, and we're laborers together, and we're striving together for the faith of the gospel, and we're to be of one accord in one mind and one heart, serving the Lord until Jesus comes back. And the devil wants to bring jealousy into our hearts. We probably never say some of these things, but I guarantee you, if you're as much man and as much woman and as much flesh as everybody else, you've had one or two thoughts run through your mind that you'd had to lay at the altar before. Can I get a witness? Oh, it's quiet in the house of God tonight. It happens. Jealousy. Let's examine ourselves one more time. I want to ask you a few questions. Ask ourselves a few questions. When others get special recognition, how do you feel about it? Does it bother you? Or do you rejoice with them? Jealousy shows its fruit in insecurity. Jealousy shows its fruit in insecurity. People have to do so much more and beat the other guy and say more, and you know what I mean. Like it's a performance trap to get into. That's not the work of the grace of God at all. That's just the work of the flesh. You understand that? But when others get special recognition, how do you feel? Ask yourself this question. Jealousy now. Jealousy. A jealous person will not be able to do this frequently. A jealous person will not be able to give compliments freely and frequently. Thank you. You did such a great job. I appreciate you so much. That really helped me. That ministered to me. I appreciate you being in this church. I love you so much. Man, I don't know what I'd do without you. You're a good friend. Right? That's a person that's humble, counting his brother much better than himself. Right? But if jealousy slips in, I guarantee you a jealous person, you'd have to take a 4x4 Ford F-650 to pull a compliment out of his mouth to give it to somebody else. Thank you? No, thank you. Appreciate you? No, not a jealous person. Ask ourselves another question. When others get blessed, what goes through your mind? And last of all, the last question, how do you view people first? Listen, I've been nothing but an independent, fundamental, King James Bible toting Baptist all my life. Amen? And I'm not changing by the grace of God. But I'm telling you what, we've got to be careful that we don't become everybody's critic at first sight. When you think of somebody first, what do you think? Do you think criticize or compliment? Do you think best or worst? What are your first thoughts of people? Well, they certainly need to get right with God. Yeah, that's why we're here, to help people. And we're going to love them and be patient with them and long-suffering and love them and show mercy to them like mercy. Jesus showed mercy to us, show grace to them like God showed grace to us. Amen, church? Exactly. And so there, we might see some things, but let not that be our first thing that comes through our mind. Let's have the type of grace and mercy that we think the best about people first and not the worst. Not be critical first, but compliment first. We have to watch our hearts. And you can carry the javelin of jealousy. And you can be a critic. And you can be attacking people and not even really know it. Thinking, well, I wish the pastor would preach better. I tell you what, if we had a different pastor and he didn't do it that way, we'd have more people in the church. I wish we had better musicians here. I wish we had better instruments here. I wish we had better people leading the song service. If he did that better, it'd be different. I wish we had better Sunday school teachers. You get that way, you're the one that's putting the rocks on top of your own grave and your own death. You got that jealousy. The Bible says something. It says in Proverbs 10:12 that love covers all sins. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, charity. You know what charity does? Charity envieth not. It means by that, charity, true Christ-like love, does not envy other people. Just doesn't. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? If you can say that, I know there's some little, it's all the fruit of the Spirit. But what's the first one in the list? Love. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, first thing you're going to do is you're going to love your brother. You're going to treat him better than yourself. You're going to look on his own things. You're not going to look to yourself. First thing you're going to get is love. But what's one of the works of the flesh in that same chapter? Envy. So what has to happen is we got to get filled with the Spirit, filled with God, filled with His Word, and that envy can be replaced by that love. And Christ can do that in our hearts. There's the applause. There's the anger. The Bible says he eyed him. He's mad at him. We're turning back to 1 Samuel in chapter number 18. He eyed him. And the Bible says in verse number 11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I'll smite him even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Not only the applause and the anger, but now the attempt. He cast the javelin twice at him. He wanted to pin him to that wall, if you would, right there. He wanted to kill him. What did he do? Saul's attempting to murder David in cold blood. That's, take heed to the power of a sin that's in your heart. It's going to come out in an action sooner or later. It will. You can't keep that little sin. It's a monster in your heart. You can't keep envy and jealousy and strife in your heart. It's going to come out sooner or later. If you would, you don't have to right now, but if you would turn to Colossians 3 and verse 8, it talks about mortifying some things. And he says, you mortify, you put to death anger, and then what's the next one? Wrath. It's anger first and then wrath. Anger is the jealousy that settles up in your heart. And it's not manifested outwardly, but what is the wrath? The wrath is picking up the javelin and throwing it at the person about ready to pin them to the wall. Does that make sense to everybody? Wrath is the manifestation that was already in the heart. Wrath, everybody. Wrath is when you're mad on the inside and then you say, well, I'll tell you what, I just won't talk to you ever again. That's it between me and you. It's when you get mad and you outburst. And you can say those things that are in your heart to the people that you love the most. Short-fused? Short-tempered? Why? Lots of anger inside. And you're trying to suppress it and push it down. And after a while, boom! Blows up. He couldn't handle it no more. He had it on the inside and he had to do something with it. So he got the javelin out and threw it to kill David. Now listen. We got to take heed to that power of anger. I remember one time, maybe this will help somebody, I don't know. But we're talking about the attempt. We're talking about the action. Anger's not the action. Wrath is the action. Everybody clear? Cussing somebody out, which we shouldn't, everybody knows we shouldn't do that, or just blessing somebody out, right? Which we shouldn't do. Just getting mad at your wife or getting mad at your husband and spouting off at them, which we shouldn't do, amen. That's not seasoned with grace, I don't think. We're doing that with our kids. God forgive us. Just as serious. That's the outburst. That's the anger manifesting itself. When you can't control it and be filled with the Spirit anymore, you're filled with the anger. This is what happened to me. I remember I was playing ball. And I was, I think, in 7th or 8th grade, and they put me in the varsity game. I've told some of y'all this story. They put me in the varsity game, and I got my one shining moment. I said, I'm going to score a point on varsity as the young buck. And I got the opportunity. And sure enough, I jumped the passing lane on defense. And I saw the pass coming to the wing. I jumped the pass and I got me a breakaway. But all I could hear was 12th graders running behind me fixing to block my layup. That's all I could hear. I mean, they were coming after me. All they wanted to do is jump up and block that layup and pin it to the backboard. That's all I could think about. It felt like there was 100 of them coming behind me, and I'm fixing to going up for this layup. And I went up. I'm nervous as all get out, and I put it in between the rim and the backboard, and it hit the rim, hit the backboard, and I missed it. Boy, I was mad. You talk about mad? That was my chance. Coach done put me in. My feet hit the ground. I landed with a head of steam. I was right next to the pad of the wall right there, you know, that you run into. And I stopped right before it, and I took my fist, and I said, "Doh!" And I hit that pad just as hard as I could. I ran back down the court, and in my peripheral vision, I looked over there to the side, and sure enough, there was a sub sitting there at the scorer's table, and I said, "That sub's for me." And it's not because I missed the layup. It's because I punched the wall. And the coach put me down to the end. When he subbed back in, next dead ball, he said, "Go sit down there at the end." I sat all the way at the end of the bench. He let me sit down there longer than I wanted to. And he came over there. He said, "If you can't control your emotions, son, you'll never be anything in life." And that's what we learn in sports. He said, "I'm not upset you missed the layup. I'm upset that you couldn't control yourself enough to get back on defense and do what you were supposed to do. And you made a fool out of yourself punching that wall." Oh, boy, I felt about that small. Right? What was that? Was that anger? No, that was wrath. The anger leashed out. And many times that's what happens in our lives. As we don't keep short accounts with our sin, and we let jealousy and envy and anger boil up in things, and we think bad about other people, and we let things that we hear from other people dwell upon us, and we make more of it than we ought to make of it, and we don't go talk to them about it, and after a while it simmers and it simmers and simmers and simmers, and we don't take care of it before God and before other people, and after a while the pot's going to blow. And what's that called? That's called wrath. If you've got aught against somebody, if you've got aught against your wife, if you've got aught against family, if you've got aught against anybody in this church, you keep short accounts with them and you take care of it. Because it's only going to destroy you and that heart that God told us to keep with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I know this is hard preaching right here. This isn't a soft Wednesday night message, but I'm just preaching what God gave me. I'm telling you, our heart is very sensitive. It's very fragile, and we need to keep it with all diligence, because it doesn't take immorality. It doesn't take adultery. It doesn't take some gross sin to destroy Christians. It can just take a little bit of jealousy. There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people not sitting in churches just like this one because they're upset about silly things. Jealousy. It'll destroy you. It'll ruin your whole spirit. You'll be like a ticking time bomb because you just didn't get things settled. What's the answer? I can't give you the answer for Saul, and I've done run out of time, I'm quite sure, and yeah, I have. I can't give you the answer for Saul, but I'll tell you what David did. The Bible says that David just departed. That's all the Bible says. He just departed. Verse 12, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. He just departed. He just departed. He just went away. He didn't retaliate. You see that? Now I want to take you to Romans 12, 17 through 21. That's a text. You can write it down in the flyleaf of your Bible. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." You don't try to get even with people as Christians. You actually love your enemies and do good to them that persecute you. Actually, that's what Jesus said to do. Amen, church? Yeah, that's the furthest from jealousy. Yeah, when somebody does you wrong, you just love them. You talk to them. You tell them, "Hey, I love you. I'm not against you. I care about it. If there's anything I can do for you in the future, I will." You make ends right. You don't burn that bridge. Amen, church? That's what you do. "Hey, look here. If we're part of the family of God, we're going to enjoy heaven forever together around Jesus. Is that not correct? Oh, it's quiet in here. Let me tell you something the devil will always do, and I'll hush. The Lord willing, I'll hush. The devil will always provide each of us ammo and ammunition to get back at somebody. Are you listening? I said the devil will always provide ammo and artillery to get back at the person that has done us wrong. Always. Never thought about this. Where's the javelin? Could he not grabbed it and thrown it right back? And that's what the temptation is in the flesh. Pick up what somebody else has thrown at you and said, I'll get you back if it's the last thing I do. I'll have the last word with you, sweetie. You're not going to, right? Spout back at one another. He had it right there. Maybe it was stuck in the wall. He could have pulled it right back out, thrown it right back at him. The Bible says he just departed. I'm telling you, the devil will always give you something. He'll give you some evidence on somebody that you could use up against them. And if you're not careful, you use that against them over and over and over and over and over again. And beat them down and beat them down. But is that the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of grace? No. The Bible says something about David in verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely. How did David behave himself wisely? He didn't retaliate. He just walked away. Who else walked away? Joseph behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him, and he walked away in temptation. The Bible says in verse 15, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Saul was watching the whole time. He said, that boy right there's got so much God on him, he's not even going to fight back. And that made Saul afraid of him the more. Isn't that something? God's on him. Very wisely. That's the answer to somebody that attacks us, that's jealous. So we got two things going on here. We got to ask ourselves, could we be jealous of other people? Could it be? It most certainly could be. God search our hearts. And then we got the problem if somebody does do us ill will. How do we respond to it? Here, David just walks away. Right? He just departs. But our lovely Lord Jesus said, you love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. Pray for them. Pray for them. You might have one of those people in your life. The best thing you can do before loving them is just start praying for them. And then God will soften your heart to be able to love them like you ought to do. Relationships like this are tough. They're tough. And we have to guard our hearts from jealousy and then guard our hearts not to become bitter when there's somebody like Saul in our lives that wants to attack us. And we pick something back up and continue the war with them. I think Christ wants to have us the spirit of grace, one toward another and towards all people. Let's everybody stand at this time. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wouldn't know specifically tonight, obviously, who the Lord's speaking to. But you might say, Brother Justin, tonight, the Lord spoke to me, really. Really, He did. The Lord talked to me about some things. And He dealt with us about some things. Please pray for me. I need the Lord's victory in something. The Lord's dealing with something in my heart. There's something that's unsettled. I just want to be sensitive to the Lord. Anybody here tonight, say pray for me. Any hands? Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd keep us sensitive towards You. Keep let us have the right spirit. Your spirit. Your love. Your mercy, Your pity, Your kindness, and not have that spirit of jealousy one towards another. Let it not be named in this church, I do pray. Let us love one another, edify one another, build one another up, and even so much more as we see the day approaching. And Lord, help us to treat those with Christ's love that treat us ill. Give us the grace to be able to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. She begins to